tell us what you have learned about where the Iranians are saying about Trump's change.
He used Trump's own favorite term. They're saying it's fake news. Daniel, what I've heard from speaking to senior Iranian officials is that over the past 2 weeks, the United States has reached out repeatedly. Steve Witkoff has been sending text messages to Iranian officials, including the foreign minister, asking the Iranians to engage in talks. And the Iranians, I'm told, debated how to even deal with this, and they literally ghosted Steve Witkoff. They did not respond to him. When we reported that last week, the White House went nuts. They denounced DropSite News, accusing us of engaging in America last behavior, said we were abhorrent. And then they went and they spun a story to Axios saying that it was actually the Iranians that had been begging President Trump to speak. And so, you know, this kind of played out over the past few days. And what Iranian sources were telling me, Daniel, is that through a series of intermediary countries, including Turkey, Pakistan, Egypt, and also some Gulf countries, there have been a series of messages passed on to the Iranians by the United States, where, according to Iranian officials, these third-party intermediaries have said that the U.S. wants to wrap up this war. And that happens while publicly Trump is saying, we're going to bomb Iran's electrical and power infrastructure, which, by the way, would be a war crime if they did that in a sweeping manner. Iran then said, hey, let us tell you what we can do. We can hit not only in Israel, but we can hit in all throughout the Gulf. And this would cause just like catastrophic shock to the global economy, which we can talk about later. But the most breaking stuff I have for you is that Trump today posts on Truth Social that there's been this breakthrough, that he's pausing his threat to bomb the Iranian electrical grid and other energy infrastructure because there have been these talks going on between the United States and Iran. And Trump implies that he has some secret squirrel that he's talking to in Iran, and he doesn't want to name who it is because he doesn't want that person to be killed. It's unclear, does he mean by Israel or by the Iranians, you know? But what I'm told is that there have been no negotiations, direct negotiations with the United States, and that what the Iranian officials are telling me is that every time a third country comes to Iran and they say the United States wants to talk, Iran says, let us explain to you our conditions. And in short, what the Iranians are saying is that they will not agree to the kind of ceasefire that took place last June after the so-called 12-day war, because the Iranians view that as having been a gimmick to buy the United States and Israel time to rearm, to reposition, and then come back in with this full-blown war that they launched on February 28th. So they're saying they won't go for just a ceasefire that doesn't have conditions attached to it. They also want any cessation of the war not only to apply to Iran, but to apply to two other fronts of battle, as the Iranians see it, Iraq, as well as Lebanon, where the Israelis are increasingly engaged in ground operations, very heavy bombing. Hezbollah, which Israel had said was wiped out, has been launching dozens upon dozens of rockets every single day into Israel. So they want those two countries also to be party to this ceasefire deal. They're also saying that they want reparations paid by the United States, and they want Israel to pay, but they don't want Israel to pay directly. They want that to happen through the United States because they don't want to take anything directly from Israel. But the other thing, and this is, you know, I think very relevant, it's and many people, I know you've made this point before, and I've heard other smart analysts make it, that because of the way the United States and Israel have lied about the negotiations, have used it as a veneer or a cover to then wage these wars, the Iranian position has hardened. And what Iran is saying now is that there will be no discussion on its ballistic missile program, that if there is a ceasefire, Iran is going to move rapidly to continue its ballistic missile program, recognizing that it's only deterrent against the United States and against Israel. They're also saying, and they wouldn't go into more detail on this, that they're in the process of developing a new doctrine on the nuclear question. They didn't say, oh, we're going to go and we want to enrich uranium to make That's nuclear weapons. But what they're saying to me is that that because of the U.S. and Israel targeting their nuclear infrastructure, because they blew up the negotiations where the Iranians had put terms on the table that went beyond the Obama-era deal, they're saying now that they're having discussions about developing a new nuclear doctrine, potentially in partnership with Russia and China.
Well, that's not good news, really, for anyone. And that's actually this morning, you probably saw these comments here. President Trump was actually asked that issue about the uranium, because it's like, okay, you can reach these deals on opening the Strait of Hormuz, but that still doesn't answer your primary issue of no nuclear weapons, especially this 400 some odd kilograms of reprocessed material, President Trump said.
You said you want to get the enriched uranium. How are you going to get the enriched uranium? Are you going to
It's very easy. If we have a deal with them, we're going down and we'll take it ourselves.
So it's very easy. Does that match with what you've heard from the Iranian side today?
No, and actually, you know, there is some scuttlebutt that, you know, special operations forces, U.S. special operations forces have been pulling long days, potentially sketching out some CONOPs, some concepts of operations for potentially a raid into Iran to try to secure enriched uranium discs, which would be madness, especially, I mean, if it harkens back to, you know, 1980 and Desert One, when the U.S. tried to send helicopters in to free the American hostages in the embassy there. I mean, the idea of a U.S. special operations raid into Iran is just madness to contemplate, but there is some scuttlebutt that that's at least being talked about. The reality, though, Daniel, is that the Iranians did put on the table terms that would have solved this issue, and Trump could have declared a major victory if he had just gone in good faith through those negotiations. But, you know, right now, what we're looking at is, and this is what the Iranians are perceiving it as, that in some of the messaging from the United States, it sounds like Trump wants the Iranians to essentially go back to what they were agreeing to in those negotiations in February as a way for Trump to desperately cling to an off-ramp and claim victory. You know, the public has a short attention span, and most people are sort of caught in this whirlwind of lies that are being told by the White House. But the reality is that one possible way that this ends from the perspective of the White House is that they claim that their war got Iran to agree to some terms on the enriched uranium, when in reality, the Iranians were already very far along that path with actual negotiations without the need to drop any bombs or subject any American troops to death or injury, not to mention to subject approximately 2,000 Iranians so far to death by American and Israeli bombs. So, you know, I think what's happened is that the Iranians are very, very intent on sending a message that the costs of attempting to do this again or create a dynamic where you can bomb Iran every few months is not going to be acceptable. And well, the question and so now is going to, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's going to, at least the automatic question that comes to my mind is how can you square this circle, I guess, with Trump this morning? And I'll show you just a second ago where he was saying, you know, basically they've come to me and how we're going to square the public statements and then what could come out of it. Let me give you an example. Here's what he said on why he has delayed his ultimatum.
Now, I think this is something that's going to happen. And why wouldn't it happen? So tomorrow morning, sometime their time, we were expected to blow up their largest electric generating plants that cost over $10 billion to build. It's a very good one. There was no dearth of money. And one shot, it's gone. It collapses. Why would they want that? So they called. I didn't call. They called. They want to make a deal. And we are very willing to make a deal. It's got to be a good deal. And it's got to be no more wars, no more nuclear weapons. They're not going to have nuclear weapons anymore. They're agreeing to that. Any of that stuff, there's no deal.
See, I mean, so he almost precludes to have the kind of a deal you just talked about there because he's listed conditions that, according to what your sources are telling you, they're not going to agree to. How do we get those two things reconciled?
Well, let's also remember that you know, Trump has repeatedly been shown to be lying throughout this. And unfortunately, as an American, I have to say, unfortunately, the reality is that Iran has been much more transparent about what it intends to do than Trump. And, you know, what I would say is that when Trump said we're going to potentially target Iran's energy infrastructure, the IRGC and senior Iranian officials all said, okay, if you do that, then we're going to strike the energy infrastructure in Israel, and we're going to strike the energy infrastructure all throughout the Persian Gulf. Those Gulf countries already are feeling like they've been totally abandoned by Trump, that they're paying a very heavy price for hosting these American bases and standing silently by. They don't ever criticize the U.S. and Israel war. They just, you know, refer to Iranian aggression. And they're watching, you know, their systems given to them by the United States get pummeled. And they're recognizing that if their oil and energy infrastructure gets pounded, this is going to set them back generations. It's also going to have massive implications on a global scale. So what I think is far more likely is that Trump was hearing panic and anger from his buddies in the Persian Gulf. His advisors, particularly the military advisors, were painting a picture for him of what it will look like when the Iranians start launching ballistic missiles all throughout the Persian Gulf, targeting soft targets of energy infrastructure. And so Trump kind of concocted this pyramid of lies about the Iranians begging him. I think this is a case where people in the White House and the Pentagon said to Trump and the Gulf countries, if you do that, the Iranians actually do have the capacity, no matter what Pete Hegseth says every day when he goes in those briefings, no matter what Trump says about every day, it's like 90% degraded. And Iran carried out in Dimona and elsewhere in Israel some of its heaviest, most devastating strikes of the war, when we've been hearing that the war secretary saying every day how they're basically in the last throes of their missile program.
So, well, and that's actually what I wanted to add. This is something from DropSite News here. I pulled it off early this morning. You reported something that the IRGC said. You struck our hospitals. We did not do the same. You struck our emergency centers. We did not do the same. You struck our schools. We did not do the same. But if you strike our electricity, we will strike electricity. We are determined to respond to any threat at the same level necessary to establish deterrence, and we will do so. So the question is, and you kind of alluded to this already, but what is, as far as you're understanding from some of your maybe White House contacts, the implication that, well, maybe they didn't do those things because they can't, because Pete Hegseth said that their diminished capacity is 90%. Who should we believe here?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of just believing the pronouncements of officials. And part of the reason why, Daniel, I decided to really try to speak regularly to Iranian officials is that I think it's better for democracy if we have a full understanding of what is the position of the people we're told are our adversaries. And I think that's a tradition rooted in good, solid journalism. But I have to say that in general, I think the Iranians have been pretty transparent. And when they've said that they are going to respond in kind to these types of attacks, we see them doing it pretty swiftly. And so, you know, these warnings issued by them, I don't think that they would be bluffing.